Hola, and welcome to episode 27 of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Lou Selenia, and I am, as always, so elated that you are here with me this week, listening to what is going on with me, what I'm thinking about, what I'm researching, taking you along my journey, and hopefully helping you along yours. So, I think I've mentioned it in the past, but in addition to all the other things that I do, I am the director of media at my church here in Baltimore, Maryland. And we, you know, as a lot of churches have had to pivot because of the pandemic and trying to keep our members as safe as possible and still offering ministry opportunities while everyone was at home. And now that, you know, things are progressing towards a new normal, we again are expanding what that might mean for our church. And it has me thinking a lot about culture and community and the roles we all play, from leadership on down to the member who just comes on Sunday, sits in the pew, and says nothing to anyone. And it has me reflecting on the culture of the church at large as well. I think, especially the Black church, even if you weren't raised in the Black church, if you are Black, there's a certain level of churchiness of culture that we can all generally resonate with as Black Americans. But also reflecting on my experiences in the various churches that I have been a member of, some voluntarily and others not voluntarily because I was underage and went to the church that my mom, when I was living with her, or my grandparents, when I was living with them, said I was supposed to go to, except for a couple years. But I'll talk about that. And, you know, I have been fortunate. I'll definitely say fortunate and very blessed that I have experienced being a member of a Baptist church, a Black Baptist church. I have been a member of a Latino Pentecostal church, and I have been a member of non-denominational churches. And although, again, I think there's a thread that has tied all of those experiences together for me, and there are definitely a lot of similarities, even with me growing up and, you know, partially in a Spanish-speaking Latino Pentecostal church, there also were big differences in what I experienced through the culture that had been established in those specific churches. And not all of it was great. Some of it was amazing. You know, church is where I was able to really develop leadership skills. I have so many amazing memories singing in choir, singing on praise teams, traveling with those praise teams, meeting people, but of course, ultimately, learning about Christ, learning about my faith, and setting the foundation for what I believe as a Christian. Interestingly enough, though, I've had some of the worst experiences in church as well. And despite all of the things that I have gained, there are quite a few things that when I have told certain people, they question and they wonder why I still decide to participate in the Black church. I don't know, and I can't say, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Latino church was ideal. I was a minor. I was part of my grandfather's church. So I was a PK. It was a storefront church. And it was overwhelmingly filled with senior citizens. So my experience with that was really, with the church, but also very tailored for me and my sister by my grandfather and my grandmother and how I participated. Like, I never had a choice until I got older and I was like, hey, I have schoolwork. But, you know, a lot of times even then it'd be like, all right, well, bring your homework to church. But interpersonally, the relationships and things like that, there weren't really many kids for us to be around. We were always around adults. And you stay in a child's place. There were a lot of things that were taught as doctrine that I no longer believe, that I don't hate them for, because I know my grandfather taught us what he knew. He did the best that he could. He was someone who didn't believe that we could be part of the world without being worldly. We were taught that to be set apart meant we had to dress ultra conservatively. And if you've ever seen a picture of me, you know, I do not dress that way any longer. When I mean ultra conservatively, I mean we couldn't wear V-necks. We couldn't wear sleeveless tops. We couldn't wear skirts above our knees. We couldn't wear shorts. We couldn't wear pants. We couldn't wear jewelry, dye our hair, wear makeup, wear earrings. We had to wear stockings. We had to wear, and mind you, we lived in Florida, so we had to wear stockings. We had to wear slips. Like, anything that they felt would bring attention to us as young women in a way that a man could perceive us as sexy was a sin. I won't dedicate this episode to that. I think I've talked about that enough. But particularly my experience in the Black church, especially since that is where I've held my membership, you know, from teenage years on to now as an adult, almost, middle-aged, has been traumatic for me. And dare I say, almost trauma bonded. I'm almost trauma bonded. I think there is a certain level of trauma bonding that I've done, which is why after a couple years of not attending church and not having found a church when I moved to Virginia, I ended up coming back despite those experiences. But outside of that, I also think and know that there is something beautiful and amazing about the Black church experience, despite the toxicity that I have found and many other people have found that have caused them to walk away. And they'll hold on to certain churchiness, the music, the sayings and all that, but they have no desire to be a part of that community. And where I am right now in my life is, although I work in ministry as a director of media, my ministry in Radiant and doing this podcast is definitely more on the fringe, dare I say, of church culture, and very intentionally so, because I know that my audience is a lot like me. So as we have been talking about expanding our church to be more of a hybrid church, in that we offer ministry opportunities to those who are members via our online, our e-campus, I've been led to consider, well, okay, what is culture? What is church culture? What is toxic church culture? And as we expand my specific church, as we expand, how do we ensure as best as possible that we give our e-campus online members a healthy church culture to be a part of? I think for me, one of the things that was important as I'm asking these questions and doing my research is like, okay, well, let's first identify what is or what could be toxic church culture. And I came up with a list of about 17. Now, you know, I'm not a preacher, because it's like, oh, 3 points, or, you know, got a nice round number. But I came up with about 17 signs of a toxic church culture. And this could be a local church, this could be a church organization, this could be another organization that's not necessarily church, but we're talking about church today. So, number one, you are being backhanded judged by other people in the church. Number two, you are sitting in a building that's supposed to be all about love, and yet you feel cold. Number three, the church feels more like a high school clique. Number four, you are encouraged in one way or another to blindly follow and never ask any questions. Number five, it's all about the show. Number six, you aren't gaining anything by attending. Number seven, no one takes responsibility. Number eight, there's an entrenched us and them mentality. Number nine, church fights are normal. Number 10, conflict is dealt with by talking about people instead of talking to people. Number 11, what gets said publicly is different from what actually happened privately. Number 12, the leadership is toxic and tend to manipulate and use their members. Number 13, there is little to no accountability from the top down. Number 14, leadership shows favoritism. Number 15, people are treated as a means to an end. Number 16, leadership surrounds themselves with sycophants and do not allow for pushback or disagreement. And number 17, communication lacks clarity and transparency. Now, I'm not saying this is a definitive list. I'm sure if I sat down and thought about it or reached out to other people, we could go ahead and add several, if not many more. But those are the ones that I came up with. And I think it's important for us to identify this. It was important for me to identify it because, you know, we've had many conversations on the interwebs, social media, about church hurt and things like that. And, you know, some people took it seriously and other people were very flippant about others' experiences with the hurt they've encountered at church, whether it was hurt that was from just a member. But many people that I've talked to, including myself, isn't just from just random members. It was from leadership. It was from their pastors. It was very much a part of the culture. It was systemic. And that's the part that concerns me about, again, I'm talking about the Black church. At no point do I mean that no other church, we can sit here and talk for days about the white evangelical church, like even the media is talking about them. So this isn't a call out to say that Black churches are terrible when everybody else is better. No, not at all. This is just what I am a part of. And I would presume that my audience is likely also a part of them or can resonate with some of this, even if they aren't. Because again, this isn't specific to Black church in the sense that no other type of church, no other denomination of church can be toxic. I'm sure they are. And I hope that someone is addressing them as well. But I want us to challenge ourselves, especially those of us who are in ministry, those of us who haven't left the church, who still believe in the Black church, to stop accepting this toxic church culture as what has to be and what is and what won't change. I remember, and maybe I've heard this probably more than once by different people at different churches, where any type of criticism of the Black church, the response from, you know, a pastor or preacher is always to try to deflect about what happens outside of the church and what we accept at our jobs and what, you know, the things that we experience. And it's like, it's such a cop-out. And it's very irresponsible and a very immature response, because it's like, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Like, at what point do we raise the bar? At what point do we call ourselves to the carpet and say, we not only have to do better, but we have to be better? At what point do we disown these beliefs that it's okay to be sexist and misogynist and transphobic and homophobic in the name of God, in the name of the Bible? At what point do we grow up as the church? People are walking away. With the intention of never coming back. And not because they can't handle it or they're weak, but it's like, if this is supposed to be a safe harbor, we are supposed to be a safe harbor. Why is it that when I go to the church, I feel the most unsafe? Because, and that's the other thing too, many who have walked away have found safer communities with people who do not profess Christ. They have found more love and acceptance with those who do not profess Christ than they do in the church. And that's so sad. And we are going to be held accountable. We are being held accountable. one of the things that I am so sure of in this season with this pandemic is that the church is having to account for all of the damage that it's done to people. You know what it's like to be literally sat down by a pandemic and realize, like, oh, I can still engage the worship experience from home and not have to deal with the messiness of church people, not have to deal with toxic leadership, not have to deal with cliques and the exclusionary practice of those types of cliques in churches. That if you're not someone who is serving, that people in leadership don't feel that you are of value enough to invest in you, to check on you, to see how you're doing, unless you're doing something for the church. And then the moment you stop, they think that, well, no one cares. I'm only important to them when I'm doing something that they can benefit from. And so, I don't say this to complain at all. And by no means do I have a desire or feel led or am called to start a church of my own at all. That is not it. But I do know that when God puts stuff like this on my heart, it's not by happenstance. And again, at this point in my life, I'm not abandoning the Black church. I'm not abandoning my church, and am actively participating in trying to influence a change in some way, shape, or form so that others have better experiences at my church than I've had. But in the meantime, I also know that this means, and it's something that's been, that I've thought about before and I talk myself out of it, that it's time to build my own community for specifically women who feel like me. Women who are churched in some way, or, you know, you're Christian, but you don't feel like you fit in the church. But you love God, you believe God, and you love to worship, you are on a journey of healing or desire to start your healing journey, but you also desire to be a whole woman. And instead of denying parts of yourself, acknowledging and embracing the divinity in every part of who you are, and embracing your goddessness. Women like me who aren't afraid to be sexy, whatever that means for you. And knowing that God ain't afraid of our sexiness. He gave it to us. He made us this way. Women like me who are pursuing wholeness, who own their pleasure, who own their bodies, who own their stories and their experiences, who love to have fun. They might even twerk a little bit or something. Women who are tired of playing small and will no longer make excuses for themselves and no longer allow anyone to force them in a box. That's who I'm for. And so if that's you, and that resonates with you, I hope you join me next week, because I am going to go more into detail about what that community will look like. I still haven't fully ironed it out, but as an answer to those signs of toxic church culture, I have come up with community agreements. And I envision where we will be able to support each other on our journey towards healing and wholeness, and be able to hold space for each other, be able to be honest and hold each other accountable, be able to have fun without being judged, be able to be ourselves without feeling like someone is trying to change you or make you feel like who you are is not enough because it doesn't fit their idea of who you should be. If any of that resonated with you and you are in a church that is toxic or have trauma from a toxic church and you want to talk about it, send me an email at radiant@lucilenia.com. Visit me at www.lucilenia.com. You can also look at merchandise that I have for sale. And if you would be so inclined, it would be so very helpful if you shared this with your friends and left me a review on iTunes. Love you guys. Thank you.